podcast time on XFM. The breakfast show, best bits are in. Lots of chat and interviews and less bits with Matt Dyson. Breakfast XFM. It's Danny with Specs on XFM.
It's Danny.
It's Breakfast XFM.
It's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Hello there and welcome to podcast 70 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. 70. It's crazy to think we've been doing this 70 years. Dara O'Brien's on this one. John Richardson as well. Plus, Tim Minchin. How about all this? We find out it's my birthday. We'll play Quiz Phase. And we find out what you done this time. All after this.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
How are you? I hope you're well. I had the day off yesterday. And I went up to Dundee. Dundee, Scotland. Great place. I was born there.
You were?
I was born there. So I got to see all the old things. Very misty day. Very sort of rainy. A bit bleak.
Yeah.
But a strange sort of gothic beauty in that wonderful city.
That's nice.
Thank you.
Did you start talking Scotch again when you went back?
You can't say that. Can't say that.
I say that to annoy Scottish people.
Do you? I see.
Cause it's worked. You tend to go back, don't you, to pick up the accent when you... Once a year
I go back to pick up the accent. Yeah, just to refresh my accent palette. That's weird, though, because as soon as I'm back up there, because I used to have a very strong Scottish accent when I was a kid. I lived in Dundee until I was about 8. And that's quite a harsh accent. And then I moved to Loughborough. And I don't think anyone had ever moved to Loughborough before. Because they were like, what is this? What's happening here?
He speaks funny.
Yeah. People were staring at me. It was very uncomfortable. So probably 6 months later, I mean, it started within about 6 weeks, but 6 months later, I was just talking like this, but a bit higher. Ooh. So I went back, and I went to the offices of the Beano. Now, that is exciting. Hugely exciting. Yeah. I went there and met the man who drew the Dennis the Menace of my youth.
No.
The Bash Street Kids, amazing bloke, David Sutherland, is just about to turn 80. And he sat there and he sketched me live. Loads of like Dennis Menaces and Nashers and Nippers and, you know, the Bash Street Kids. It was the magic appearing before my very eyes.
Wow.
And the girl on reception at the Beano, she heard my voice and she recognised me from my voice. She went, are you Danny Wallace? And I went, yeah. And she listens to the show every day. Hayley, who works at reception at the Beano.
Oh, wow.
And she'd been wondering where I was yesterday. And it got to sort of 10 o'clock and then suddenly I was in her reception.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
It was great. It was great to be up there and great to be up in Dundee. And, and it's my birthday today. It's my birthday.
Yeah.
So once a year, it's good to go back to kind of, I suppose, in many ways, our Bethlehem.
Yes, it's true. I suppose it is.
Do you know what I mean? For this show, it's sort of, it's sort of our Bethlehem.
Yeah, a lot of people do a pilgrimage to them.
A lot of people, yeah. And this is all the fables of how it began in the mid to late 70s. And I can put some of those to bed as well today.
Very spiritual place, isn't it?
Yeah, and especially on a day like, you know, yesterday, where the whole city was just in kind of a reverent hush. So it was nice. How are you celebrating my birthday, Matt? What are you going to be doing this weekend? Got many plans?
I'm going to be... I was hoping to go to Dundee, but had to cancel that due to work commitments.
Yeah.
But I'll be setting up a shrine in my living room.
That's nice.
Like I normally do.
Yeah, you do. Even before I started this show.
Yeah.
That's kind of what happened. And Dave, your plans for celebrating this wonderful time of year?
Well, I might nip round to Matt's for part of the pilgrimage.
Do.
Because, well, two's better than one with these kind of things, I think. It's good to talk through
your feelings.
The feelings towards you, I think. Not with you not being there, but just obviously it's
I hear everything.
To yourself.
I hear it all.
Yeah.
I hear it all.
And then you do, I think you do quite like The Killers. So I'm going to go and watch The Killers this evening.
Oh,
in
that's
honor
in my,
of you.
In my
yeah.
honour.
That's
yeah.
what
that's
I would
lovely.
Have wanted.
It's what I would have wanted.
XFM.
You know Ant from Ant and Dec.
What's he done this time?
He's in the doghouse, isn't he? He's in the absolute doghouse. His Ant from Ant and Dec.
Boy.
Well, it was his birthday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was his birthday. And he was hosting I'm a Step to Get Me Out of Here. And he got up and he got his wallet and he got his watch and he brushed his teeth. And I suppose he was a bit jet-lagged, but he only went and forgot to put his wedding ring on, didn't he?
Oh, Anthony.
Oh. And as soon as he got into the car, he realised he'd forgotten it. And he thought, oh, well, she won't notice, will she? But she did notice, didn't she?
Oh.
22,000 people tweeted, Ant hasn't got his wedding ring on. Oh, Ant, he's in the doghouse, isn't he? Not just him, but you know Sacha Baron Cohen?
What's he done this time?
Oh, he's only going to all these events, isn't he, with his glamorous partner Isla Fisher and embarrassing her left, right and centre. He only asked Cate Blanchett what she did for a living, didn't he? Another time Jack Black invited him to a screening of a movie, but before it started, Isla says, quote, this heavyset lady gave a really long speech. Then Jack got up at the end and thanked everyone for coming. So Sasha asked Jack why he'd made such a short speech, told him he should have shut up the lady with I'm trying to work out how to say this without saying it, with the enlarged elements, is all I'll say. Jack said, that's my mother. Sasha.
When will he learn to keep his trap shut?
When will he learn to keep his trap shut? Matt, why are you in the doghouse this morning?
Oh, well, you know me.
Oh, what have you done this time? Honestly.
Well, the Doris has been badgering me for weeks to clean up the salad drawer of the fridge where some gherkin juice leaked from one of my pickle jars. It happened a while ago, but I've still not got round to it as we've run out of kitchen towel. The
you and your pickles!
Essential equipment to clear such a spillage. There will be merry hell to pay when she smells that vinegary fridge again this morning. How many times, Matthew? How many times?
Dave, why are you in the doghouse this morning?
Oh, you know me.
What you done this time?
I only came home from footy last night and without even thinking, trudged mud all the way through the freshly swept lounge.
Not
the boss was fuming. She's going to have my eyes for her earrings.
Eyes for earrings. Oh, no. You know me.
What you done this time?
I only said I'd help tidy up the basement, didn't I? Only said I'd be right down, didn't I?
You better be!
Crowed the Harridan.
Don't you go near that Xbox!
Well, the old ball and chain had already been to the DIY shop on the corner.
We'll need dust sheets for this!
Shrieked the woman. I ran out of ways of describing it.
Yeah.
Oh yes, my sweets, I replied, cowering. Whatever you think, light of my life. Well, I thought I'd have just a quick game on the Xbox, didn't I? Just relax myself into the morning. After all, this was clearly a day's work, wasn't it? Well, by the time I got downstairs, the basement was clear, the dash sheets were down, and the car was full of stuff for the tip. Emasculated, Matt.
No.
Just a little bit. She had my kidneys for stress balls.
XFM.
Is the rain getting more annoying? Do you know what I mean by that? It's that old Peter Kay thing, isn't it? You know, there's that thin rain that soaks you through.
Yeah.
I think it's getting thinner. I think it's getting thinner. I think something's happening to the environment. I think perhaps the weather is listening to, I don't know, maybe the prophecies of Peter Kay.
Yeah.
And going, you know, yeah, weather imitating art. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
It's like you, like someone's spraying a big mister over London.
Yeah, you don't really notice it.
No.
But I was pleasantly surprised this morning because it was very mild.
Was it?
Yeah, I thought so. I thought
what
it was
were you
slightly
expecting?
Odd. Freezing cold weather. It's mid-November, Danny. I was expecting something that was really going to, you know, take my breath away.
Yes.
In North London, but...
you were disappointed?
A little bit, yeah, because I had my scarf on, I had my gloves on.
Yeah,
I overdid it.
You've changed, because when we first did this show, I remember that you used to do this thing where you would always want to be surprised by the weather and dress appropriately. You would never be so arrogant as to try and guess what the weather was.
I'd never second-guess the weather, would I?
No, in those days, now very arrogant. You get your scarf on before you leave the house. In the old days, I remember you used to leave the house entirely naked and stand in the street for 3 minutes to acclimatise, didn't you? You'd make your notes, and then you'd go inside and dress appropriately. What's changed?
Well, I suppose I've just become a little more conservative in my old age, Danny.
Yes, I suppose you have. Happens to us all, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, yeah. And also, much more people seem to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning these days, therefore you can't really get away with standing naked in the street.
Not anymore.
It's not like it used to be, is it?
Not like it used to be. We've all changed, we've all got older. Matt Dyson, for example, last night, just spent the whole evening tidying his house.
Yeah.
What's your technique? Where did you start? How long did it take?
I used using the Hoover, I don't use the long extension. I take that off and go to the short bit.
Wise.
And just do the stairs with that. So
that's your stair technique?
Yeah, it increases the suction power. Yeah.
By what sort of percentage?
By about, I'd say, 75%.
Corners? How do you do corners?
Just used a little nozzle again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of cornicing in your house. It's sort of like an Elizabethan house.
That's right.
How do you do that?
I've got a special attachment for that.
Cornicing
yes.
attachment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we've got a family coming down to stay
yeah.
for the weekend.
And you wear your utility belt, don't you, when cleaning?
Yeah, yeah. It's
You're like a Ghostbuster.
Bathroom spray one yeah. side, dust polish the other.
Yeah.
Swip them out whenever needed.
Yeah. And again, this time last year, that wasn't you at all,
no,
was it?
No, no. Yeah.
You'd literally just get a damp cloth and throw it into a room.
Yeah, yeah.
And just say, see you later, I'm done.
We've all changed,
haven't we? Maybe we should ask the listeners how they've changed a bit later on.
Yeah. Matt says he's got a family coming to stay. Are you? Do you know who they are going to be?
A family of lodgers.
I meant we've got family.
Yeah. We've got yeah. a family. We haven't decided which one yet. It's kind of like a game show format.
Yeah, it's like an exchange program we do.
Yeah. I would love to see which family wins out.
Keeps
and
things interesting.
And the family that comes to stay with you, are they deemed the winners or the losers of the competition?
Yes, it's the booby prize.
It's the booby prize.
We are
doing some kind of weird cat-like manoeuvres to that music. The wonderful Dara O'Brien is here, everybody. How are
chip.
You?
It's the only thing you can do to Hot Chip. There are,
the
like,
chip.
A band who dance music and look less cool even than I do, but actually do really, really good music, so it's great.
They do.
They're like saviours for people like me who still like dance music, but really can't be hanging around the clubs.
What dance music are you into? I can't imagine
at
you
at the moment,
dance
that's
music.
All gone very, you know, I'm not a man to drop music.
Express?
Well, no, but my golden days were Big Beat or the great, you know, the Basement Jacks,
the glory
holy,
days.
The holy trinity of Big Beat. What the hell was the other two? The Basement Jacks, Daft Punk, and the other one. I've forgotten now. That's the worst one.
Anybody?
Chemical Brothers.
There you go, Matt Dyson.
And then obviously Manchester and all that kind of, you know, early days of rave, hair down to my shoulders. January
days.
Yeah, it was
really?
Great. Yeah, well, it was fantastic.
I just realised that you know, we've known each other for years, but I only interviewed you once in that time. I think in 1998 it was.
But given that you've interviewing people, you must have, at some subconscious level, avoided inviting me onto things.
No, all the years
I've needed publicity or wanted people to mention things. You now realize that the last 14 years of my career have been entirely unaided.
Yeah, I've had nothing to do with it. Yeah, exactly.
It's really, really good because it kind of makes what now this very hollow gesture, because I've actually brought in a birthday cake for you. Genuinely, it says happy birthday. I've brought a proper
look
cake.
At that.
But actually, now that I realize how little you've done for me in the last decade and a half.
Oh, Dara.
Purported friendship.
Lovely.
Yeah, thank you
very much. It's a birthday cake bar and it says happy birthday, and it's a wonderful thing. Now, did you really bring this in, or
it seemed
very thoughtful of them, and it seemed very out of character for you.
It's unusual that I would search before every interview and go, does he have any major that's coming up? Is there any way we can link this into it?
Also the fact that you walked in with nothing in your hands and suddenly had a canvas bag with a giant cake in it.
Well, it's weird because they said walk in with the, and I said I think you'll notice if I walk in with a yellow canvas bag, it will seem unusual.
Yeah, well, I take your hollow birthday wishes and I thank you for them.
Listen, the wishes are heartfelt.
Good.
The cake was pre-purchased.
As is my love for the brand new DVD, Crack Dealer.
You are the master of the segue.
How about that?
Fantastic.
I should mention that Crack Dealer, it's a title that it probably works better written down.
Well, it does sound, unfortunately, the pun doesn't exist when you just say it. It's an unusual direction.
Because
it was suggested by somebody as on Twitter. Somebody suggested it for a previous DVD. I believe it's called crowdsourcing.
Ideas theft. Other people call it, but yeah, go on.
Oh really?
No, they don't.
I gave the guy a couple of tickets. He actually came to the show because the title of the show is now in foam. Some company in Ireland saw the touring and they sent me as a kind of a promotional gift for themselves. The words made out in foam letters, which have only been stolen off stage twice.
Really?
A load of kids in Manchester jumped on stage, grabbed the sign, ran out of the theatre, ran around to the back to have a photograph taken with me and the sign in order to get it back.
Gave it back as well.
But actually, because it was also in Croydon once I was on stage, and I had a routine in the previous show which involved me taking off a jacket, and somebody ran on stage and stole the jacket.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Where was that again?
That was in Croydon.
Croydon, of all places.
On the previous tour. And the best thing was, they then got in contact with me, friends of this guy got in contact with me, like last summer, like a year after, in order to say, he feels really bad and we'd like to give you back the jacket. Maybe when we give you back the jacket, you could record a message to play at his wedding.
Still trying to get stuff
still
off it.
Still, like.
That's not honesty. That's no. Just what we got to barter with.
We are.
XFM.
Right now, you're in the I don't know biz. Let me flip that and reverse it and pop you where you should be in the know biz. That's right. That's right. Get to a water cooler and get ready to discuss the following. So, Professor Green has launched a Twitter rant, it says in the tabloids this morning.
Ooh.
That's right, yeah. It's intriguing, isn't it, already? I've got me hooked. Hooked already. At a hi-fi shop that he claims is dismissive of people with tattoos.
You are sh**ing me.
I am not. And he walked with his tattoos on display, I imagine. Mm. Unless they're sort of psychically... They're going, he looks inked.
Well, he's got one on his neck, hasn't he? So they probably saw that one.
Very good point. That's probably the first thing they saw. Anyway, he felt ignored, didn't he? He says he felt like a tattooed Julia Roberts from Pretty Woman. And he tweeted that. And the man in the hi-fi shop saw it and tweeted him back and said, well, I just wanted to leave you alone, you know, to browse. Don't want to pounce on you.
Ooh.
Seems Professor Green is Professor Needy, isn't he?
Yeah, that's true, because people complain when too many people come up to you in a shop and say,
very
can I help
point,
you?
Yes.
And then it's looking like, you know, people are leaving you to it. People are still complaining.
They are, Dave. What's the world coming to? Kelly Clarkson's fallen in love with a man called Brandon Blackstock.
WTF.
He's got to be American. Or a wrestler, I was thinking, didn't he? Name like that. When you don't meet people like that in real life. What's your name? My name's Brandon Blackstock. Are you a cartoon? What are you? That's not real. It's not a name. Alex Reed is angry that people keep saying that the saucy dungeon that he built in his house is somehow dirty. Now, if you know Alex like I know Alex, you'll know that hygiene is paramount with that guy. Yeah. Especially when it comes to dungeons. You cannot be too careful, you know? I imagine he's always hoovering in there.
Yeah.
A bit like in that Queen video.
Yes. Yeah.
I imagine that's what happens there. Just constant. Susan Boyle, the film, that's on the cards.
Gazooks.
Now, the Paul Potts one, that's done, isn't it? So now we can crack on with Subo. I hope we get all the X Factor and Britain's Got Talent films, don't you? I hope it goes right the way back. I hope everyone gets their movie moment. Lamar from Fame Academy. Looking forward to seeing that one. Hope we see Grace and Mikey from Big Brother 4, the movie.
Nice. Sounds really nice.
Imagine there was the story the other day, wasn't there, about Mario and Lisa?
Yeah.
Spending 18 months being followed around by a film crew.
One of the stories of the year.
18 months, filming 18 hours a day.
Yeah.
Never paid. Never asking, is this going to be on the telly or anything like that? Turned out as a massive hoax. I'd love to see the footage, though.
Yeah.
Harry Styles' mum sold her Mini for more than it was worth by describing it as owned by Harry Styles' mum.
That happened to a mate of mine.
I doubt it. She even threw in a meet and greet with herself.
With herself? Oh,
yeah, very arrogant, isn't it? The listing says, bought by Harry for his mum on Mother's Day 2011. She's already selling it.
Oh.
I mean, cutthroat, that one.
Yeah.
I should be careful, actually, because Harry's sister listens to the show, doesn't she? She'll be established one day. Wonderful woman. Ollie Murs has defended his decision to write an autobiography at age 28. And he says, we live in the moment. He's so wise and mysterious.
He is, isn't he? Yeah.
Always coming out with stuff like that. We live in the moment. It's like one of his pronouncements.
Yeah.
He's got a small hill outside his house and he just stands at the top of the hill dressed as a prophet and just doles out this kind of advice. We live in the moment.
Yeah. I'm one of his disciples.
You in the Church of Murs?
Yeah.
You in the Mur Church?
Yeah.
What's happening? Leaked pictures of Prince William at work as a flight lieutenant. Sounds exciting, doesn't it? These pictures are of him making tea, looking at a computer, sitting in a chair and eating lunch. They're not as good as those Harry leaked pictures, are they?
No.
They are the most boring photos I've ever seen in my life. Seriously. They look like photos from the publicity pack of a retirement home. That's what I think. And Cheryl Cole met the Queen. Where's the quote? She says, met the Queen. She's so delicate. She has hair like candy floss. And tiny little dancing shoes. What a wonderful way to describe our monarch. And now you are very much in the no-biz.
Am I in a tree?
You're not.
We are...
The world's biggest liar has been named. Competition for the title of world's biggest liar took place yesterday. And judges were deliberating into the night. Sounds like a lie. After 2 hours of competition at the Bridge Inn in Santon Bridge. According to reports, it was all founded in honour of this fella called Will Ritson, who, you know, was a landlord of this pub in the 19th century, who just made stuff up all the time. So people get up and they have to make up a tall tale just for 5 minutes and convince people that it's true. I don't know how they would do that, given it is a lying competition. Yeah, yeah. As if anyone's going to go, so is everyone, that true?
Everyone knows they're all lies.
Seems to undercut it somewhat, doesn't
it? That's like the worst night in a pub ever.
Last year's winner of the title of the world's biggest lie was a nuclear plant worker called Glenn. That sounds like a lie already. Who won after telling an unlikely story about racing snails with Prince Charles. Politicians are barred from entering as they're considered to have an unfair advantage. Nice. Cheeky. But the weird thing about this story is it says it took place yesterday. It doesn't say who won.
Yeah.
So the whole thing could be made up. The whole thing could be made up. What do you think? What's your instinct tell you, Matt?
Something's fishy. I don't know. I don't really understand this.
Well, you're right. You're right to be suspicious, right? Yeah. If your instincts tell you, then you're right.
That's what my gut's saying.
Because scientists are saying, if you trust your instincts, you'll be right 90% of the time.
Really?
90% if you trust the old Dyson, you know, gut instinct.
Really?
Never let you down yet, has it?
Never.
Not
has.
Once.
No, no.
A new study has shown that forced to choose between two options based on instinct alone, participants made the right call up to 90% of the time. So while you went out the room a minute ago, I've set up a little experiment, Matt. Mm. In either my left or my right shirt pocket here, I've popped £1.
Okay.
Which one?
My instinct tells me the your right pocket.
This one?
Yeah.
Let's see. Boom.
Yeah!
It's £1.
Woo!
Let's try it again. In my back jeans pocket, left or right, there is £1. Left or right?
Your right again.
Right again.
Your right again. Ooh, yes. Yes.
Boom.
Oh, you're going to be rolling in it, man.
Incredible.
Oh, my gut's so strong today.
In my left or my right boot, I have placed 50 British pence. Oh. Which is it?
Left boot.
My left boot, you say?
Yeah.
Hang on.
I can't get it out. I think it is in there.
Well, let's see. It would be weird for me to do this for this long and it not be in there. I can't get it. Steve, just check that.
Take the boot off.
Look.
Yeah.
There's 58.
Wow.
Look at that. It's incredible. Instinct, right.
Wow.
100% of the time that
time.
Yeah,
good. Brilliant.
Of course, I also had corresponding money on each of the other.
Yeah.
I did. It was birthday money, isn't it? I got...
is that what you do on your birthday?
I got £6 for my birthday.
You bump it in each pocket.
From my Tante Marilyn.
Money house as well.
There's another... Yeah. I've never seen a man so deflated and disappointed.
Yeah. Did you think he was good at something for
once? Like the beginning of Ghostbusters. Like, I'm Bill Murray coming on to you, the sort of the hot student. It's a weird image. That's a weird image. So, yeah, so birthday money. That's what I got there.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
The great leader.
Yes.
Shall we see if there's still people outside the window?
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
Get a life. Honestly. Shut the window. I don't want to see them. That's very nice.
We also have another little surprise. Oh. A little appearance from a certain person who was once a big part of this XFM breakfast show.
Oh.
Who we may have missed for a little while.
Okay.
But this person definitely helped launch, I suppose, the XFM breakfast show, and they were just more than willing and actually wanted just to leave you a little birthday message for this very special day. Okay. So enjoy this.
Danny Wallace, I wish you the very, very best of birthdays and all your wishes and your ambitions to become true. I'm very proud of you. You are one of those people, like your producer and the rest of you. Every 1,000 years, the Lord make one like you. You know, my happiness is for the audience, like myself, which I know that they enjoy the pleasure of listening to your show. You are amazing. I'm so proud of you. The Lord, you will open the heavens, the doors for you. And your producer, of course, who also is the one who brings the show on the air.
Yeah.
Danny, happy birthday to you. Very wish you a happy birthday.
Amazing Paul!
Amazing Paul, everybody!
Oh, it's good to have him back on the airwaves.
Yeah. We are XFM.
Basement Jacks, where's your head at?
Oh, man. What, are you going to talk over that? You've just completely harshed my buzz now.
That was for Dara Breen, our marvellous guest this morning. His brand new DVD, Crack Dealer, is out right now. What I love about your work as well, Dara, is you're a massive nerd, man. Just huge nerd. You, at university, am I right in thinking you studied something like, was it pure maths or pure, something with pure
in the title? It was pure maths and a thing called mathematical physics. Which
you love maths, don't you?
I do like an equation.
What's your favourite equation?
It's called the Euler equation.
Euler.
Euler was a 17th century, 18th century mathematician.
Yeah, we know. We're not idiots.
I know. I wasn't saying it for your benefit.
Euler. We all know that Euler.
One guy who doesn't know the life of Euler. And it's an equation that links all the major constants in. It's e to the I pi is equal to minus one. And it manages to link four of the most fundamental numbers in one small equation. And it's just the most gorgeous thing.
I've got nothing really to say about that.
I know. But
I don't know how to get out of this.
But there is a fraction of the audience who are going, yeah.
A fraction? Everything's fractions with this guy.
Yes, there is. A proportion of the audience. A percentage of the audience.
And your science club is on.
Science club's going really, really well. We've got Extinction next week, and then and Spaceman after that, and then the music. We're doing one about music as well.
Science of music.
Science of music. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, there is some. You know, there's a reason why. You know, we recognise some things as rhythm and other things as not. Where we recognise certain things as harmonies working together. There's more to it. Than
really. So you could come up with an equation for the perfect song?
No. You could. That's the word. Never presume that you can retrospectively look at this. It's like when people say, "How do you?" You can notice things about jokes that you've written that they fulfil a certain pattern or whatever. But it never helps actually writing the stuff. It's no use. You can't build it down to if we just put this with this, then bingo. Otherwise, you just get a computer to churn out.
So the robots will never create.
That's the one thing that you'll never see. The robots is dancing. Did you ever see Terminator? Did you ever see him just?
All you ever see is robots dancing. Whenever you know. The new scientists bring out a robot. All it does is dance.
No, that's actually it's walking.
So how's that useful?
Or just slowly walking with a tray. They keep getting the car trays. This is all we need.
We
you
want
to
dancers
do.
And butlers. That's all we
Fetch
need.
Just stuff.
And in terms of your nerddom, which is great. We are also we do a lot of that on this important broadcast. As you'll know from your listener pad, Dara. I noticed you brought that in with you. So what we do is we do a feature called Angry Nerds, right, where listeners can get, you like this, get IT off their chests. It's a bit like a pun, isn't it? It's a bit like a pun.
It's very good.
And it happens and people go crazy for it. Very, very specific rants. And we noticed that you have one or two as well on your DVD.
I have a tendency to look at things that offend me on a rational level and to get irrationally angry about them. My current favourite nerd rant at the moment, the thing I'm irrationally angry about, is the Dettol no-touch antibacterial soap dispenser, which for those who are unfamiliar with it, it is a soap dispenser that you wave your hand underneath and it squirts out the soap, thus saving you touching that plunger, which is being touched by your family pox-laden creatures like that. And you certainly don't want to be catching any bacteria in the microsecond before you wash your f***ing hands.
Angry nerd.
And because that is actually when you're at your most vulnerable. Just before you wash your hands is when those germs will really attack.
Exactly.
Because they smell the imminent danger and they really burrow in. That's the way they work.
How they get in there. Crack Dealer is out now on DVD. The perfect Christmas gift, would you say, Dara?
I would say, listen, I'm not saying make it the central gift necessarily. because, I mean, let it be...
A disappointing Christmas.
Filler, let it be filler, I'm okay with how you want to emphasize it, is it just part of a, you can in something you can fan out, it could be one of those, look at all these things I got you.
Exactly.
And it could be one of them,
whatever.
No one's eyes, I hope, will go, what's the down part? They'll go, that's another lovely thing to look at.
Yeah, exactly. And just finally, how are you celebrating this great day today, the birthday of the great leader?
Well, it's obviously we've got the parade that we're that kicks off around Leicester Square. We're just doing one loop around with all the animals.
They're out there now, actually. Let's have a quick look out there. There they are. All right, shut it. So that's happening.
Yes,
And we'll see how the day pans out.
We're recreating that Ferris Bueller motor thing where he he's in the middle. We're singing those songs, that Ferris Bueller thing, around and around over and
don't
over.
Don't do that, please. I find that very offensive.
He's ruined my birthday.
XFM. We are XFM.
I saw this story last week. I was in Dundee, Scotland, just last Thursday, and this was the big news up there, and it's filtering now around the country. But a 32-year-old man called Armstrong Bailey. It's a good name, isn't it?
Mm.
He performs good deeds in Dundee and across Scotland while dressed as a giraffe. And there were pictures of him. I saw it in the Dundee Courier up there. Just him, just dressed as a giraffe, just walking around.
Oh.
And he cleans beaches dressed as a giraffe. And he gives free coffee to people on cold days dressed as a giraffe. What? He hands out bananas dressed as a giraffe. And he calls himself the Good Giraffe, which makes sense, doesn't it? Ooh. I suppose, if you think about it. And asked why he chose a giraffe, Bailey said, "Well, I was in the bathroom and I wondered what would happen if I dressed up as a giraffe and then went around doing good deeds." And so that's what he's done. And he says he feels good when he does it. And when he carries out these acts, it seems to have a knock-on effect. People seem to have a positive response. And it's like instant karma, isn't it? It's that thing of doing something nice for someone else makes you feel good as well.
You're right, yeah.
But I don't see the giraffe link there. Does he not have the confidence to do it in himself? You know, just as Armstrong Bailey? He's got quite a...
Has he got a very long neck? I don't know.
I don't know. It's hard to tell with this.
He's like one of those new breed of superheroes.
But Giraffe Man, the Good Giraffe. Good. Yeah, there's Angle Grinder Man, isn't there? There's a fella who releases cars that have been clamped in sort of the West Midlands, I believe he is. There's, what was the name of the guy who sits on the buildings in Harrow? Like the Night Watchman or something.
Yeah,
and he dresses
that's
up all in black and just sits on tall buildings just watching people.
Yeah.
It sounds more sinister than it is, I think. I think I've served him wrong there.
We are... XFM.
John Richardson is in the studio and this is his voice.
Thank you for coming. It's a special night for me, obviously. I hope you enjoy it. I hope it's memorable. I'd like to start by saying, if you're in love at the moment, it's not going to last. We'll just say that now and then it's out of the way. Then we can laugh about other stuff. I know some of you will have clutched each other and gone, oh, not us, but you.
He's here, John Richardson, everybody. How are you,
John? I'm unbearable.
Why do you say that?
Well, that was horrible.
No!
I really like being in my audience then. I had a real rebellion of, how dare you say that to me? Well, that was me. You know?
And yet you chose to not only include it, but open the DVD and the live show with it.
Yeah, you've got to get it out of the way. Waste the whole time implying it, and then I just thought, say it, and then we can talk about other stuff.
What is it about love that that you hate so much?
Oh, everyone who's in it. me when I was in it.
Oh,
you're married, aren't you?
I'm a married man, yes.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
That's a bleak... What a bleak sort of outlook to bring to a breakfast programme.
Well, someone's got to bring it down. It's all far too happy around here. If you've not seen the world, it's in a right state. You can come in here and play your songs and pretend everything's great, but we know the truth.
You know the truth, exactly. You're a truth teller. You were out in the world. You walk amongst us, John. You were out there just moments ago. What did you see with your dark, dark soul?
I saw a woman asleep on the train, dribbling. reading an article about a woman who'd done some horrendous stuff, and I thought it could be her because she had her hood right down. So I speculated on her for a while.
Yeah.
A businessman was touching me. That was nice.
Were you tightly packed in, or was he just walking towards you and just getting closer?
No, we were tightly packed in on the train, and we should have really gone. I mean, if you go face to face, that's weird.
Yes.
And then, as it turns out, if you don't go face to face, that can end up weird as well.
Absolutely.
I shouldn't have been boggling into him. But
should have been wotting into him.
You know how to bogle. Come on.
Bogle? I've never heard anyone bogle. I don't know what bogling is. I've never been a bogler.
You need to have a year off your marriage. Yeah. Get into the world and bogle for a year.
How do you bogle?
It's sort of a gyratory buttock movement.
Bogle?
That's a bogle, isn't it?
Yeah, so you were gyrating your little Richardson buttocks into a businessman?
Yeah, my increasingly big, now in their 30s, Richardson buttocks. But I was having a little...
Is it for tips or is it like paid?
I sort of thought if I went over the top, he might back off a bit. I mean, it's a big gamble.
Yeah, it is.
If I look really into this, he's got no choice but to get off at the next stop, whether that's his work or not.
And you rebuffed him.
And that's fine to explain, isn't it? Why are you late this morning, Dan? Well, you seen that guy in 8 out of 10 cats? He was being quite sexually aggressive on the 8:38 this morning.
what a just marvellous images you're bringing to the airwaves this morning of you just bogling with the businessman. Have you often bogled? When did you first bogle?
I think the first time I bogled was by accident.
Yeah.
And I think that's when I invented it.
Oh, so you've invented bogling?
I think I did, yeah. I was
and you look at me like I'm a fool for not knowing the bogle.
Oh, it's spread worldwide now. That's like saying I gave birth to Justin Bieber. It's no excuse for not knowing who he is.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. You have a brand new DVD, Funny Magnet.
Yes.
Where was it recorded?
The Shaftesbury Apollo in London town.
Oh, that's a big place, isn't it?
It's quite big. It's not as big as the Hammersmith Apollo, or, you know, it's not as big as the arenas that these new modern comics do.
These new modern, not like you.
No, I like a place with cornicing.
Yeah. You have a traditional feel to you. just like in real life, I mean.
I'm glad you're touching me, and I'm glad you picked up on that.
Yeah, well, I'm bogling, aren't I? I'm like. Bogling. Yeah, could you give us a little on-air bogle? And Matt, can you get on a mic and just describe John Richardson's bogling for
us? Okay, this is...
Oh, he's actually getting out of the seat.
He's gyrating his batty in quite a suggestive manner.
There's not webcams in here, are there?
No, thankfully not. I thought it'd be a lot slower and more seductive than that.
No, it's a very aggressive.
It's very similar to the Dutty Wine, as I believe it's called.
Is that right? Let me know what that is. You're all you guys are all living in a very different world from me. Maybe it is. I've been married years. I just don't know about this man-on-man bogling that happens on many early morning trains.
We invited you to Oceania last night. You chose not to come.
Yeah, I was busy. So you recorded it. And had you been doing this show for a while on tour and stuff? And
yeah, I've been touring this show all year, so it's fresh. No, it's this year's tour with a couple of bits from older tours, but I didn't really go into the older stuff because then, you know, if people see the Apollo sets and things like that, it's all new material. So
how do you keep it fresh for yourself when you're kind of on tour?
Well, I'm in such a constant state of self-loathing that there's always a new aspect of myself to hate. So by the time I get to each gig, yeah. I've realised, when I get to Newcastle, I think, oh, God, that's a ridiculous thing I do as well. So there's always a new thing.
There's always a new element of self-loathing. What's in the sort of the, you know, if there was a chart show style rundown of your self-loathing, there'd be the top 40, that'll take too long. What's the top three right now? What's vying for the top spot?
Top three, probably how unpleasant I am to live with.
Right.
I'm living with two flatmates at the moment, and that's an ordeal for them. Lot of touching.
Love touching, okay, yeah. It's a running
tutting,
thing.
Not touching. Tutting. No, that's another problem. No physical contact in the house.
Yeah.
Fine for a businessman, but not for people I actually care about.
In at number two with a bang?
In at number two, probably my body at the moment.
Oh.
Well, I mean, 30's not old, is it? But it's when you start getting paranoid. So I put my back out lifting a chair on Sunday.
Uh-oh.
And now I'm just at an age where I think, well, that's ruined for life now.
Well, that's it, you're done.
My back will never heal now.
Yeah. And at number one, the top spot this week in the terms of John Richardson's self-loathing rundown.
It's love, isn't it? It's got to be.
It's love. It's got to be love.
The big one.
XFM. Confirmed Mr. Jeff has already texted in just to say, what a great show so far today. Thanks. I wouldn't ruin it there.
Very kind of him.
But it's all about the troughs, isn't it? You've got to have the troughs to get the peaks. Yeah. Let's try and get a peak. So, over the weekend, my folks came down. And my mum has got a wonderful tradition of giving me very exciting gifts, hasn't she?
Yes.
Told you about these, haven't I?
Yeah.
In the past. Yeah. For my 18th birthday. You know, I was expecting maybe a silver pocket watch, maybe something engraved, something to say, you are a man, my son. Off you go into the world. You know, plough your field, make your way. Remember what I got? I got a Mr. Bean video and a belt. And a sort of a hand puppet of some kind. Do you know what I mean? Not the greatest gift for an 18-year-old. Then got a lawnmower at one point. That was quite exciting. But it wasn't even the an electric lawnmower, you know, one you plug in. It was one you put petrol in. It wasn't a petrol one. It was just I didn't use it much. It was a roller. It was a roller one. I got that when I was about 30. Used it twice. Actually, a lot more dangerous than the plug-in electric ones, you know, if you fall.
Yes, true.
What else did I get? A fire extinguisher for Christmas, a couple of Christmases ago. Small one, suitable for liquid fires. And I knew I was going to get a fire extinguisher when she sort of dropped into a very subtle hint. She kind of went, what's your favourite type of fire extinguisher? As if I'd have one, you know? Anyway, she plumped for liquid, and she was right, you know? Instinct was right on that occasion. You know what I got for my birthday this year? For my mum? She turned up very proud. A little bag for me.
Yeah.
Got a chopping board and an onion guard.
An onion guard?
Got an onion guard. And she spent most of the weekend saying that she'd seen me chop things in the past and noticed that sometimes there was a bit of onion left over. So now I've got an onion guard, and it's about how much would this be? Yay high, describe that.
Right, okay.
About the size of what? An oversized tennis ball, something like that.
Okay.
And it's the shape of...
Or a large onion.
It's the shape of an onion as well.
Right.
And you put your onion in it, and then you close it, and you put it in the fridge, and then you can eat your onion again.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and it traps the smell of the onion within the onion guard, and it guards the onion from its natural predators.
I like it. Sounds good.
Yeah, I want one. I've got one going cheap. Never used, never will be. But no, what a wonderful gift, the onion guard.
Yeah. Wow.
I thought an onion guard was going to stop you from getting teary whilst chopping the onions.
Well,
and I thought that would have been a genius present.
Well, no, I've got a solution for that. Some people say hold a spoon in your mouth.
Yeah, a spoon in your mouth. Eat bread, some people say, whilst
Some people eat bread, yeah. Some people say slice it a slightly different way.
Yeah.
I wear one of those dog cones. You know,
the collar thing.
The collars that you see that you see dogs walking around with. I wear one of them when chopping onions. So I've already got one of them, so I don't know what my mum was thinking. She's seen me chop onions before. She must have... She's going, you know, she never said, why are you wearing the dog cone? So that's a wonderful gift. So I thank my mum for the... I think she thinks she's onto something with these very sensible gifts.
Yeah.
And she wants to be talked about on the radio now. Because she used to not like it. And now it's kind of like she's kept asking me if I like the onion guard. Something going on. XFM. I just looked round and Matt Dyson was cuddling with Work Experience Steve. Is that your song or something, Men's Needs? Just reminds you of the basics that we all need in life, just like a little billericay nitwit. I'm sorry, John, that you had to witness that. You know, we've been talking about love and bogling. We're going to talk more with John about love, his number one self-hate at the moment, all thanks to his brand new DVD, Funny Magnet, which is out today. This is what's coming up on the important broadcast at the moment, John. Can I just hand that to you? And you can do a quick coming up for us.
Coming up, yep. Asterisk in a circle.
Yep.
Music from Pinky Patel.
Yeah.
And Carvo, Warrior of Norway.
It's coming up.
You can win a pound in our Win a Pound competition.
It's coming up as well.
And I'll perform the Bogle Bugle. That's all next on XFM.
Thank you.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Well, Max, you should know the rules by now, so let's get quizzical. Quizzing. So, Max, this morning's quiz face is quizzing. Now, the idea behind quizzing is simple. You must best your enemy using a zinger. Now, zingers are defined as a quick one-liner, a put-down, a comeback, a punchline to an inadvertent setup. Imagine a James Bond zinger, Max. Perhaps he smacks a smoking nun on the back of the head with an ashtray. And then he says... filthy habit. It's a zinger. It works in all levels, doesn't it? All levels there. So I'll be providing you, Max, with basic setups and situations to tee up your zingers and test your zinger levels. You'll be judged on speed, accuracy, topicality, originality, vocabulary, conciseness, relevance, wordplay, and deadliness. Now, each situation will be accompanied by an appropriate soundscape to help you think in the moment. Are you ready for your first quizzing opportunity, Max?
Yep.
Then let's
set the scene.
Max, you're just outside your grandfather's shed. His name is Johan. He's a maths professor. And his parrot just died. Now, because of this, he's gone mad. And he's using a small toffee hammer to try and cross a dog with a hen. But when he spots you, Max, he suddenly hides his creation, the dog hen, in a microwave. It's weird, isn't it? So you ask him what he's up to, and he says, oh, nothing, I'm just compiling a list of the 10 funniest puns of all time. And he hands you the list, and he asks you which one makes you laugh the most. So you look at the list, and what's your zinger? Zingers are going to be quite quick.
Yeah, I'm struggling with that one. It's a little bit off the wall.
I can't accept that. No zing. Sorry. Let's try again. Give you a bit more time for that one. So you've got the grandfather is the microwave with a dog hen in it. The parrot just died. Anything?
No, I'm struggling.
No zing. Still zingless, I can't let you continue, Max. No, the correct answer when given a list of 10 puns and asked which made you laugh the most was no pun in 10 did. Oh. To zinger, Matt, what are the alternatives that Max could have had?
Well, you could also have had, are you trying to make poached eggs?
Yes, of course, the hen and the dog in the microwave,
or
yeah.
Or you could have pointed at the maths professor's dead parrot and said, polygon.
Yeah, polygon.
They're just some of the basic alternatives you might like to try at home in those specific situations.
Yes, absolutely. That's just how comedy works. Let's go quick fire, Max.
Zing this.
Max, you're a pregnant cow. You've been artificially inseminated, Max. But your cow friend does not believe you. How do you respond? Quick.
It's the moose.
No zing. You can't just say that. No, what's the answer, Matt?
The answer was no bull.
No bull. You've been artificially inseminated. Yeah, it's a zinger. Your friend tells you that his TV aerial has just got married to next door's TV aerial. Max, your response, quick.
No.
Can't accept that. No, it's too long. You should have said, Matt.
You should have said, I bet the wedding will be terrible, but the reception will be brilliant.
Yeah, it's a zinger. That's a great one.
You should have also said, get out. We don't want your type in here.
I don't get that one.
The best answer would have been, is it common? Well, it's not unusual.
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Stop the music, please. Stop. What you...
One was assaulted.
Stop it, Matt. What are you doing? You're just reading from a bumper book of puns. What are you even talking about?
Well, the peanut that was done for GBH, what? Assaulted.
No one's mentioned a peanut. No, literally no one's mentioned a peanut. What was before that?
Tom Jones syndrome. It's not unusual.
Yeah, again, no one's mentioned Tom. Whose type don't we want in here? I don't understand that.
That was a joke about some fonts walking into a bar.
Fonts? When have you ever seen some fonts walking into a bar?
It could happen, you know, if like the robots ever rise up. It stands to reason that the fonts will be next.
No, you love fonts, don't you?
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. Fonts are not my type.
It was a zinger, was it? It wasn't a zing, it's just a pun. Also, it's the same pun as he used before. It's a no-zing.
No-zing.
We're just saying that finishing things is the same as zinging, mate. If that's your brand new rule here in this quiz-zing thing, I don't see the rules there anyway. Then call up Max to win Quiz Face and receive the tickets. Complete this well-known zinger. We are...
XFM.
Zing! Yeah! Oh, that was tense. Oh, that was a tense one. Oh, Max. I guess you were just a little bit sleepy at this time of the morning, you know, with unable to come up with an appropriate zinger about an old man with a toffee hammer making a hen dog.
Simple, really.
Very easy.
XFM. Hey, Danny, Jason Donovan here, wishing you many happy returns as a special treat. Don't do this very often. Here's my 1988 hit, especially for you.
I don't think we can play that, Jason.
Well, what about Too Many Broken Hearts?
Probably not.
Come on. What? Okay, nothing can divide us.
I doubt it.
Well, why the ask me to suggest a song?
No, but it's still...
Look, I don't even like the guy. I only did this as a favour to work experience Steve, so call me when it's his birthday, okay?
No, Jason, come on.
Got better things to do with my time, thank you very much.
We are
XFM. Brilliant. John Richardson is here. He is amongst us. Brand new DVD.
Did you pick Sleep Alone for me?
Yeah, I was about to say. Mate. Out of all the tracks, I was thinking, even if in a relationship, you would probably prefer to sleep alone.
Yeah,
for reason. For what reasons, though? Reasons of hygiene?
Oh, I don't know. No, I'm not going to say that.
What? No, say it.
I was going to say I do like a snuggle then, and then I thought, do you know what? Man up. I'm pathetic beast.
What is it about a snuggle you enjoy so much?
Because it's nice snuggle time, isn't it? Oh, it's nice when someone's in the bed, isn't it? I'm actually probably a little bit cloying, to be honest.
Are you?
I think I'm a little bit OTT.
You're a snuggler, not a snugglee?
I take it either way.
You like to be snuggled?
I just like contact.
Just pure contact?
I mean, at the right time, I go totally overboard. I'll strangle a woman with my love.
Really?
And then
really?
Moan about not getting any affection for the next 8 years.
Oh, man, what a great opening line to a Match.com profile. Wouldn't that be a marvellous thing to read? It's just a bit of honesty like that.
Yeah.
What would your Match.com profile say, were you to have one?
I mean, that wouldn't be far off.
Yeah.
I haven't had it for a long time. If you want to find out why...
Yeah.
Text me, call me, follow me around, anything.
I'll take anything.
Now, my friend was recommended. I saw a friend last week that I haven't seen for a long time, and he said he'd met his partner through Match.com, and
he said,
you should really try that. And I thought, oh, I'm too easily Googleable. You can look at my photo and then Google me. I think when you type my name in, the first thing that comes up is John Richardson gay.
Is that right?
I think so. Yeah. Not that I've done it.
People not sure which way you... I don't know, I was going to invent some kind of... Which way you fly? I'm not even sure that is a euphemism word.
Yeah.
Not sure which way you fly.
But as long as I'm a pilot...
He's in charge. Danny, the real question everyone wants to ask is, do you think John Richardson has friend potential? Everyone wants to know if they could be your friend.
I was on with, I was on Sunday brunch yesterday with Adam Richman, the Man versus Food guy.
Wow.
And I sort of went into the studio thinking, I'm going to make him my friend.
Wow.
That's what's going to happen. We're going to be the guys. And he's going to say, hey, come over to New York and we'll eat a load of burgers.
Wow.
And I watched every other man in the room do exactly the same
thing. Oh, no.
He's one of those people that just everyone wants to be there. Oh, what? Yeah, no, that, you know the Man versus Food guy? Yeah, yeah, invited me over to New York for a few beers.
Yes.
So I ended up doing the opposite thing and trying to alienate him whenever possible.
You attempted to alienate the Man versus Food guy? Food guy.
I just thought, do you know what? I'm going to make you come to me.
Really?
That thing they call negging, where you're a little bit rude to someone. So they
Man versus John.
Yeah. So I said he was saying he's a Spurs fan, and I said, oh, I'm a Leeds fan, and he said, oh, Leeds is my third team, and I said,
ooh.
And then looked off to the side wistfully as if to say, you can't have a third team. I know you can have a third burger, but you cannot have a third team.
It's the old proverb, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the old proverb. Funny Magnet is out now on DVD. You know what DVD stands for, are you one of those people that know?
Digital Versatile Disc.
I knew it. I'm like the only other guy who seems to know that, but I'll drop
it in.
Because
they think it's video, I guess.
They do, don't they?
Yeah.
It's clowns.
Morons.
Funny Magnet is out now, out today on Digital Versatile Disc. John Richardson, everybody!
Yeah.
We are XFM. A Peter Andre fan went into labour at his concert. Hope she was pregnant before she got there. Yeah, a bit of a surprise, wouldn't it? Elisha Turner's waters broke as Peter belted out his number one hit, Mysterious Girl. That's the problem. When he starts belting out Mysterious Girl, usually the first three rows end up pregnant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of people just leave and they give birth in the car parks. So that's what happens. Have you never been to a Peter Andre gig?
No, I haven't, no.
It's just women giving birth everywhere after the gig. Crazy, that guy. I don't know how he does it. And then there's this lady who's very much in love with the actor Robert Pattinson, friend of the show Robert Pattinson. And she got married this weekend, it seems, to a cardboard cutout of Robert Pattinson.
No.
And she's rocking up to the Little White Chapel or somewhere like that with this cardboard cutout. And she says, I proposed and knew by his silence that he meant yes. Isn't that nice? What a heartwarming story.
It's lovely, yeah.
It's kind of, it's one of those relationships that everyone will frown upon, isn't it? They'll say, oh, it'll never work. And then it'll cut to them in sort of 50 years going, yeah, well, we made it work, didn't we?
Yeah.
And Robert will remain quite quiet on the matter. We are XFM. Lots of people celebrating today. It's nice to see. James in Essex celebrating the great leader's birthday. He says, as I already do a good deed every Friday, I'll be getting my three-year-old daughter to bake little miniature cakes all day. When I get home from work, I'll leave them all on a table outside my house for all the rabble to help themselves. Happy birthday.
That's nice.
Oh, great leader. That's nice, isn't it?
Mitchell says, I'm celebrating your birthday the way I have done for many years. I will travel to the undisclosed location of the shrine of Danny Wallace,
yes, nice.
Set up centuries ago by the ancient order of Wallace to light the almighty candle of Wallace in hopes my wish may one day come true.
How wonderful.
That's
how
lovely.
Wonderful.
There is actually a monument, isn't there, in Stirling in Scotland,
the Wallace monument.
Yeah, that's where absolutely. I sometimes go on your birthday.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And you just contemplate.
Just climb up to the top of that.
That's excellent work. We are It's always a pleasure to welcome this gentleman to the important broadcast. A friend of mine, a friend of the show, a friend of yours, a friend of the nations, a friend of the world in many ways. It's the wonderful Tim Minchin. He's here. That's right.
And if you didn't know he's in Jesus Christ Superstar, this would seem like a very arrogant piece of music for him to insist upon. Tim Minchin, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. I need a hat made of a speaker with that blaring out of it wherever I walk. Really.
Just walking around with a sort of an inflated sense of self-importance.
Well, I think relevant, perfectly adequate sense of self-importance. I think it's about right.
It's about right.
I actually have a visceral reaction to that music because it's when I came out of the roof, so I'm very high up in the air when that music plays.
Oh, exactly, yeah. So for anyone who doesn't know, I don't see how they could have missed it. You are playing Judas in Jesus Christ Superstar. You have been playing, and the DVD is out now. How's that all been going?
It's good. It was amazing. I've wanted to do the role for literally 20 years.
Yeah.
Finally got to do it in a very sort of big and ostentatious way. And then they made a DVD of the arena show, which is a sort of a fraught genre, really, I think, making movies of theatre shows, and I was a little bit doubtful about it, but then I went and watched it, and they actually, it's really, once you get used to the fact that it's lit differently from a real film and stuff, it's actually quite, I'm really, really kind of into it, actually.
Yeah, it works.
I would actually buy it myself, maybe.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Because it's often you think that the people who that buy the DVDs of the musical are people who went to see the musical and want to recapture.
As a souvenir, yeah.
Yeah, and recapture that night and introduce all their friends to it, because there's this brilliant thing about going to a musical that you get so caught up in the moment, and it feels like it could never happen again, and of course
it
happens twice
hard
a day.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that's right. It's pretty hard to capture theatre properly unless you go all out, and these guys went all out. It's sort of 14 cameras, and it's been screening in cinemas in Australia and been getting a really good reaction. So it's a proper thing. You know.
Screening in cinemas, so you can go as part of an audience, but not the audience, and still watch a musical as part of a communal.
Yeah. With lots of close-ups on my sweating face.
Yes, you do sweat a little bit in the show, more than I've seen you sweat in recent years. That sounds weird.
I do sweat a lot, and you've seen a lot of my sweat, but I'm glad to know that I've outdone even your conception of my sweating.
Yeah, you have. You really outdid yourself this time, sweat-wise. And didn't you wanted to play Judas for years, like you say, and didn't you have lunch with like Andrew Lloyd Webber or something, and then kind of surprise him by going, I want in.
Yeah, well, he owns theatres, among other stuff he owns.
Yeah, and cars, clothes.
I heard a whole lot of things just went through my head that I can't say. Yeah, those silences. he owns a theatre that my musical, Matilda, is in-house in, and so I sort of got to meet him, which is quite weird, given how much Starlight Express changed my life as a 10-year-old.
Was that your thing?
I came to London with my folks when I was 10 and saw Starlight, and it was pretty, I mean, it's roller skates.
Yes,
it's
trains on
disco.
Roller skates.
I mean, there's...
I never saw it, right? But I played the tape given to me by Mrs. Wade, my old maths teacher.
Oh, Mrs. Wade.
Over and over again. You know Winnie Wade, don't you?
She's a pusher.
Loughborough.
Yeah.
All those songs, incredible songs.
Yeah, great tunes.
So you were really into trains on roller skates.
Yeah.
Massive nerd, aren't you?
Yeah, a little bit of a nerd.
Huge.
But it wasn't my fault. I didn't choose my cultural input at that age. I was a sponge.
Yeah.
But then I discovered Jay-Z Superstar in my teens, and I thought, funky disco Bible, that's for me.
That is, it's you all over.
It's pretty weird. But always wanted to do it, and I had lunch with Lloyd Webber, and he was just talking general musical theatre and what am I writing and all that sort of stuff, and I mentioned that I've always wanted to play Judas, and he kind of did the reaction, which everyone does when a comedian says they want to play a suicidal Jewish rebel from 2,000 years ago, and then eventually he came around to believing me.
Well, that's very nice. And but why Judas and why not Jesus or Mary?
Well, Jesus in well Mary be- depending on what interpretation of the piece you're doing, I have a I am genitally ill-equipped.
You are. You're genitally inappropriate
to play Mary. Yeah. Jesus in this production is a little bit kind of whiny and stuff. Yeah. He has amazing songs, and Ben, who played him, was just incredible, actually. But Judas is the one with all the arguments. He's the one who's actually making good points.
But there's passion there as well.
Yeah,
passion,
and he gets to be angry, and then he gets to, you know, betray, and then he gets to be upset, and then he gets to kill himself, and then he gets to come out of the roof to ba 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 and sing. Every time I look at you, I don't understand.
Well, on that note, let's have a little bit of Tim Minchin as Judas in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Jesus, you stop. to believe the things they say of you. You really do believe this talk of God is true. And all the good you've done will soon get swept away. You've begun to matter more than the things you say.
Got a lot of notes to hit, Tim.
There's some notes, yeah. It gets higher from there as well.
Does it?
Gets
how high
strange.
Can you go?
Well, in this show, I sing D's, or high D's, but at a D, I'm
how
really just screeching.
How high can you?
Well, it depends if
D's,
you use
D means
falsetto.
Nothing to me.
I can go that high.
I'm starting to realise he might be genetically appropriate. Let's talk about Rocksmith.
Work experience Steve's road to winter wonderland. With Rocksmith, now anyone can play guitar or bass.
So he's on the road, isn't he? On the road to winter wonderland. That's Steve. Well, thanks to Rocksmith, out now on Xbox, PS3 and PC. Steve will be playing at XFM's Winter Wonderland, and we've been sending him weekly tasks to make sure that he is ready for the big night. So a little while ago, Steve, you hit the streets of London, armed only with a gig flyer. Poorly produced gig flyer, promoting your very own show that will never actually happen. Now, the people of London did not know this, of course, and I wanted to see, from the first 10 people you approached, how many would say yes to your offer? I threw it out there, and you, the listener, had to guess how many would accept the offer of this free gig from a stranger for the chance to win tickets to see the Killers playing the O2 Arena tomorrow night. Steve, how did it feel being out there?
Yeah, no one noticed that I spelt saviour wrong.
Yeah. Well, you spelt it the American way, so perhaps they thought you were like a Green Day-style band. Who knows? Who knows? So, let's see how Steve got on.
If I was to invite you to my free gig, would you say yes to come in?
I like the photo and I support work experience, so...
There will be nibbles there.
I'm in.
If I was to invite you to Work Experience Steve's live free gig tomorrow night, would you say yes or would you say no?
No.
Just a flat out no?
Yeah.
I'm doing a gig tomorrow night. Do you want to come, yes or no?
I can't. I'm going back to Bournemouth tonight.
What if I changed the night of the gig for you? Would you come?
Tonight. Yes.
Off the back of this flyer, would you want to come to this free gig?
Yeah, of course.
Ah, perfect. Thank you. Would you be interested in coming to my free gig tomorrow night?
I'd love to, but I'm really busy already at a gig.
I'm doing a gig tomorrow night. Would you like to come to it?
Whereabouts is it?
That's undecided so far, but it will be somewhere in the city.
Strange.
What do I know about it? Do I come here?
Well, there'll be a signal in the sky, yeah, and that'll be off my face. If you had to give an answer, would it be yes or no?
Yes.
If I was to invite you to my gig tomorrow night, would you say yes or no to come in?
Depends what kind of music it is.
I do a lot of TV theme tunes and then a lot of, like, post-punk stuff as well.
Probably not.
Would you like to come to my free gig tomorrow night?
I don't know what to say.
I think you should just say yes.
Yes.
Off the back of looking at this flyer, would it make you want to come to my gig?
No.
Is there any reason why?
Boring. Your face looks quite enthusiastic though.
So this is my flyer for my gig tomorrow night. Would you like to come?
No.
Just no?
A man that's dressed in holes in his Converse trainers, I'm not entirely sure I'm going to trust that he's got good taste.
That was the last one. So out of 10, how many dings was that, Dave
Masterman?
That
was 5 dings.
5 dings. Shadwell, are you there?
Hello.
Shadwell, how are you? And I'm pleased to inform you it's you, my friend.
Hey!
Oh, blimey, good. How are you celebrating the great leader's birthday this morning?
I've got my Danny Wallace costume on, completely glasses, yeah. And I'm going around telling everybody that I'm Danny Wallace. A few people keep thinking I'm Harry Potter.
Oh, no, cut him off! He is not going.
We are...
Hey, Tim Minchin is still here! That's right. That's right. And again, yeah. If you didn't know, he was in Jesus Christ Superstar recently. This would seem mildly inappropriate. What are you picking up? You picking up bits of paper?
Yeah, sorry, I'm reading.
Tim Minchin is here. And Tim, I mean, how long did you play Judas in JC Superstar 4? Was it 21 dates?
Yeah, just a month, touring around with the Spice Girl and Chris Moyles off the radio. And
that's right, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty weird.
Literally off the radio. Now.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're launching a campaign there. Yeah. Well. Chris Moyles off the radio.
That's we all head there eventually.
Yeah. Chris, what was Chris like to work with?
He's incredibly nice, man. Hugely generous.
Yeah.
Very, very humble. Worked really hard. I mean, he's only on stage.
Talk about Chris Moyles. I was mentioning Chris Moyles.
Oh, Chris Moyles. Yeah. Sorry, I thought you were talking about
Chris, the stage manager.
Or... Chris Father Christmas.
So he was good. What about Mel C? What about Mel C?
Best. Just incredible. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like I'm just being obsequious, but yeah. If you've been a pop star for 15 years, you'd have a right to be a little bit nuts and a little bit sort of, I don't know, plastic surgery and paranoia, but she's just like your best mate. She's amazing.
Really?
Yeah, works really hard.
Yeah, whenever you talk to people who've been in musicals and stuff, they always sort of, and I know it's because you're such
a
tight
team.
We all love
it.
It's just such an honour, blah, blah, blah. What
a
talent.
So boring.
Was there anyone that was a real nit?
Yeah.
Who was it? You don't have to mention their names. Describe them.
The dude who played the cello.
You're kidding.
He's just a racist. Yeah.
Really? A racist cellist? At least it rhymes.
I think he was just jealous. Yeah, no, amazing. Look, you do. There is something a bit school camp about touring with musicals, especially if they don't go for too long. You got to wait 3 to 6 months before the rot really sets in, and the politics and the people do naughty things with each other in hotel rooms and then fall out and the corruption happens and the cast falls apart. But we're only on the road for 21 days, so we all still love each other. How boring.
It was, yeah. I was hoping for a bit more scandal there.
Yeah, sorry. It's
it's a great DVD extras, wouldn't it? If you had actual people sort of really angry at each other.
Just a slow motion of me punching Chris Moyles in the face.
So that's happened, and that's great. The DVD is out now, and the Blu-ray, of course, released on Monday. And that was all filmed at the NIA in Birmingham. In terms of the future, I mean, you're always a busy man. You're going to be in Californication soon.
Yeah, filmed a bit of telly over the summer in California.
You, and David Duchovny.
Yeah, and beautiful Natasha McElhone, who's an English actress playing an American wife. And that comes out in January. And
you're playing a rock star.
I'm playing a rock star called Atticus Fetch, yeah. I've just been in the studio this week recording one of his songs sort of thing. So it's this slightly weird life crossover. I'm playing a rock star who's writing a musical for Broadway, but he's different from me in that he's polygamous and takes lots and lots of illicit drugs.
I see, yes. Couldn't be further away. That sounded sarcastic. No, but I am actually being quite sincere there.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, for legal reasons. What else, in terms of musicals, I know you can't really talk about that kind of thing, but are there rumblings? Is there a new musical afoot?
Yeah, I'm writing something for stage and writing, hopefully soon, starting to write some songs for an animated film as well. So there's writing to be done, maybe more Jesus Christ Superstar in next year a little bit, in this region or others. It's all not quite locked in yet.
Okay.
And I'm doing a theatre show. I'm doing Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead in Sydney
Tom
next
Stoffer.
Year.
Wow, yeah. That'll be
so
good.
So I'm sort of trying to get the acting-writing balance. Of course, the thing that
straddling
I've lost,
the cultural boundaries.
Yeah, I haven't done a comedy show for a while. so maybe 14 is the year for that.
Yeah, write a joke in 2014. and that's all business-wise and work-wise.
Yeah.
What about, in your personal life, what's on your to-do list today? You got some shopping to finish.
I'm going to get divorced.
Right.
Just really
get out. Do you need milk
or
anything like that?
I don't know. Why would you need milk for a divorce? Is that some kind of grand tradition?
I don't know.
I divorce the, I divorce the, I divorce the slop.
it could just be one of those unusual things. I'm just trying to see get behind the work and into the man.
I'm doing some stuff today. I'm doing talking to a camera about myself.
Okay.
It's going to be really awesome.
Good. And is that for anything? Is that just
it's for the South Bank show.
Great. All right, good.
But also I do that on my days off as well.
I've
set up a tripod and
a
big screen so I can see myself in opposite.
Exactly.
XFL. Babylon Analytics.
So 4 hours of important broadcasting, but Matt Dyson, what on earth have you learned today?
Well, our great leader, birthday boy Wallace over there, arranged to meet up with our guest this morning, Dara O'Brien, in cyberspace for a game of Xbox Live.
We did, yeah.
After the important interview on the show earlier. So after he's been carried from the building on a golden chaise lounge by the entire cast of Hollyoaks, look out for those two crazy cats shooting up a storm in a first-person war zone near you as they sit at home on the sofa talking into a headset.
Yes, exactly. What's wrong with that? We're grown men. On today's important... That's probably why it's wrong. On today's important broadcast, the world of celebrity celebrated the great leader. Dara O'Brien pretended he brought me a cake and organised a rally. Jason Donovan attempted to infiltrate the XFM playlist. There was this guy.
Hi, Toby Anstis here. Just want to say a big happy birthday to my close personal friend and mentor, Duncan Wallace.
Thank you. And there was this absolute clown.
Hi, Danny. It's Emma Bunton here. Happy birthday. I can't believe it. The big 4 hours already. Oh. I don't look a day over 36. Oh, I love listening to you and Lisa on Capital in the morning.
Right.
Keep up the good work.
Cut her off. It appears I'm only cared about by the staff of Heart FM.
We are XFM.
So that was podcast 70 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Look out next week, by the way, for a bonus, extra, special collector's edition, anniversary, celebratory, cut out and keep podcast 71. Bye. Yes, we are.